only for them, but for those that are still struggling, that God could give them a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Word of God. Thank you to all of our guests and all of our visitors. Amen. You don't have to be crazy to go to church here, but it helps. And so we're that bunch that just simply gets excited about God. And we make no apologies for that, but we just simply want to say, you got to check us out about 3 or 4 times, and then you'll get comfortable, I promise. Praise God. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 17, verses 7 through 9. Amen. Where the Word of the Lord says, "Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel." Amen. I'm sorry I got distracted. It looked like a mass exodus here today. I don't know where everybody's going. There must be a fire somewhere. But "And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning." My people Israel are going to be in the future just as they were in the beginning. Amen. And so it lets me know that he's the God of many chances and many opportunities. And I'm just going to make up a word today. He's a God of replenishing and replacing and refurbishing and remaking. Amen. And so we're going to believe God for that this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to preach a message simply entitled, "The Center." The center. The middle. Amen. To where you can look at the circumference, and of course we know Jesus is in the center, should be. He's got to be. We're going to preach about it. But you can look anywhere in the circumference, and he's the same distance from anybody as he is anyone else. There are no big me's. They are no little you's in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Somebody said that I made my mind up, I'm going to run with the big dogs. I don't know of any big dogs that are apostolic. All I know is people that have been forgiven of their sins and washed by the blood of the Lamb, and that there's no one greater than anybody else. Amen. And so the position you hold, the gifts you have, and the things that you do, do not qualify you to be greater than anybody else. It just means much has been given. And when much is given, much is required. Amen. I do believe the Lord asks a little more from some of us than he does others. And it's not because of the qualifications. I just simply believe that's where it fell. But the ground is level at the base of the cross. And we need to understand that Jesus needs to be in the center so he can be the same distance from anyone else that he is from me. Amen. And so we're going to talk about the center. Would you help me pray right now, and let's believe the Lord to move greatly. Master, we call on the name of Jesus. We seek your very face, your anointing, your spirit. And we ask you, Lord, to move greatly, powerfully, and mightily. Lord Jesus, touch the lives, the hearts, the souls of men, women, and young people that need you today. Let healing flow forth, salvation flow forth, encouragement, revival, refreshing. Let all of that flow forth here today in Jesus' name. And somebody shout amen. Praise God. God bless you as you're seated just now. Again, thank you to all of our guests and all of our visitors that are here this morning. Amen. Another scripture found in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24 tells us that, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, we are challenged at the very beginning of the message this morning and from the Word of God to make Jesus the very center of our lives, the very focal point of everything that we are or wish to be. Amen. And so something else that I would point out today is the simple fact that Jesus Christ is not just a refuge. He's not just a shelter to run to for safety. He's not just a hope and a help, but he is our point of reference. Amen. He's not just something that we run to, but he is something that we can run from. In other words, if we are with him in the center, then all of our attacks have to come toward us. And when I say us, I'm not talking about me and you. I'm talking about him and me. Amen. And so let the power flow out from you and him. Let the anointing flow out from you and him. Amen. Don't just find a place that you've got to run to him every time. But wouldn't it be good to fight from him? In other words, right there with him in the midst of your troubles, trials, and tribulations. Amen. When we go through trouble, don't let the main struggle be the struggle of trying to get relocated with him so you can get help. It would be good to already be right there so that he can help you with your struggle. The center. Amen. The center. Praise the Lord. And so he said, take up your cross and follow me. He must be the center. He's got to be the center of our troubles. He's got to be the center of our problems. He's got to be the center of one preacher. It was struggling. You'd know who it was if I told you. Amen. And he just took a church and he just preached for us the other night. But I can't tell you who he was. And he said, it got back to me that he was struggling because he just took a church and he said, man, people don't want to come to church. People don't want to be there on time. People don't want to. Hallelujah. And I wish I could have been there to hear it because I could have helped him. And because people do that. That's what people do. Amen. Until we can all refocus and get Jesus in the center. And then the house where Jesus dwells becomes a very focal point, becomes a very phenomenal place and a very important place. Thank you, Brother Harris. I was getting nervous, man. I didn't know if anybody's with me or not. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. People are going to run off. People are going to forget. People are going to forsake. People are going to lay it down. People are going to think, I don't know if I want to go today or not. Amen. But until it becomes a priority. Amen. And so this is what I would have told him. I said, the greatest ship that anybody can be in is with leadership. I said, so you enjoy church so much until everybody else wants to. You worship God so much until everybody else wants to. Amen. We can sit and point and complain. Amen. But it falls on management. I don't know how you feel about it, but I came to worship God. I came to clap my hand. I came to leap for joy. I came, and you can catch up if you want to. But I want you to know that he's the center of my joy. He's the center of my life. He's the center of all my perspectives. He's everything. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I've come to spread the fire and let you feel the heat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in hopes and aspirations that someone might say, you know what? I want to make him my center. I want to make him my joy. Praise the Lord. We can get mad, upset, or we can get glad. It don't matter. But if you will just nail your personal relationship with God down, nail it down. Hallelujah. Fasten it tight and watch everybody around you gravitate towards you and begin to do the very same thing. Amen. Get your eyes off of men. Get your eyes on God and watch us have apostolic revival. Amen. Hallelujah. I get kind of excited when I get to talking about making the Lord number one. He's the center. He cannot be circumference. Hallelujah. A wheel without a center is off balance. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise God. Let me give you a simple definition of center. Amen. A very simple definition is the middle point of a circle or sphere equidistant from every point on circumference or surface. A simple definition. Now let me give you a technical definition. The middle. He's the middle. Let's put him right in the middle. Let's put him right in the center. Praise God. Amen. Is that where you want him to be? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. Let's go to the 7-11. Hallelujah. So that contrawise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps, what does it say? Perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Hallelujah. Moreover, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of God. Lord, I'm not living for you till you prove yourself. I'm not living for you till you heal my body. I'm not living for you until you give me a miracle. You see this situation through, and then I might think about living for you. But the Word of God turns that completely around, and he's saying through the man of God, I want to see the proof of you. Whether you be obedient in all things. Hello? The proof of you? Amen. Hallelujah. There's some things that are going to come against you. There are some things that are going to attack you. There are some things that are going to hurt your feelings. There are some things that are just simply going to come in life and like storms and tsunamis and earthquakes and what have you, and they're going to happen. And so he got right to the point and he said, I want to see the proof of you, not the proof of the thing you're going through. I want to see the response to the thing. Now, you want me to give you a good thing to respond to? Look with me in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Amen. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So if you want to get wrapped up in some thing, if you want to get wrapped up in a thing, well then get wrapped up in the thing that was born in swaddling and wrapped in swaddling clothes and was born in a manger and became Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that became your living Savior, the one that bled and died, the one that carried his cross before he commanded you to carry your cross, the one that was baptized so that he would be an example for you to be baptized, the one that the Holy Ghost fell upon so that the Holy Ghost can fall upon you, the one that lived and died, which was and which is to come, the all-seeing, almighty God in Christ. Hallelujah. And so get your mind off the things that are happening and get your mind on that thing. Praise the Lord. Amen. You say, it's not heaven or hell. Some of the things I think, listen, decisions, somebody shout decisions. Decisions in life may seem very menial, small, or insignificant. However, if you add all those small and insignificant choices and decisions together after a period of time, amen, I can't go this Sunday. I've got this birthday party this Sunday. It's our 6-month anniversary and we're going to cook out this Tuesday night. I would dig a little bit deeper than that, but to miss church, but you know, it's just this one time. It's a very insignificant choice. And then those small little insignificant choices that if you add all the small and the insignificant together, those little decisions together, after a period of time together, they have the potential to become very significant because they pile up and accumulate, and then they become life-altering and even affect your eternity, and you don't even realize it because you're caught up in all that. Hello? You say it's not heaven or hell. How do you know that? Because you're not done making the decisions that follow that one, and then the one that follows that one, and then the one after that. The Bible said this thief cometh not but to steal. He can't kill you first. He can't destroy you first. But he's got to steal some things first. And the first things are going to be the little insignificant things that are not that important and seemingly not that valuable. And then before long, he's killed and he has destroyed. Years can pass before it even dawns on an individual that you've been robbed by bad choices and decisions. But what I'm here to tell you today is I don't want to negate. I don't want you to feel despondent and like it is never too late. Amen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want me to get rid of this big plague of frogs? And Pharaoh said something so dumb I couldn't imagine. He said, tomorrow. Well, Moses is saying when. That means it can happen right now. Why are you saying tomorrow? And so while you're sitting here thinking, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never happen. I can tell you of a ton of people that never saw tomorrow. In my ministry, my wife and I traveling, evangelizing, people I preached for or to that night that were not around in this world again the next day. I'm just simply telling you, today is the day of salvation. When I say it's never too late, I'm telling you today is not too late for you to make another choice and to make him the center. I wonder if we could just take time out for a shout and lift our hands and worship the Lord and just tell him verbally with our mouths open that, Jesus, I'm making you the center. I'm making you the middle. I'm putting you in your rightful place. Hallelujah. Amen. We cannot afford to let the thief come and let him steal. Amen. And let him rob and kill and destroy. Amen. Hallelujah. It's never too late. We have a promise that the Lord can restore the years that the canker has devoured. Come to me, he said, and I will give you rest. When you're at the end of your rope, you need to understand you're not at the end of hope. There's help. Amen. Hallelujah. You know the devil blinds. And you know the devil blocks things that in it, and it makes you feel that what you're doing is insignificant, doesn't count. Amen. I can listen, I can hear, I can watch or whatever. Amen. And it's the same thing. It is not the same thing. Amen. I'm telling you, there's things you get in corporate worship. There's things you get in the house of God that you are not going to get anywhere else. Amen. There's things in your private prayer room. There's things in your house. There's things at your altar in your house that you will not get here. But I'm telling you, the most important place you can be when it is church time is right in the middle of church. He cannot be the circumference. He's got to be the center. Amen. I say again, we have a promise that the Lord will restore. Homes, family, finances, futures, godly success is there for those that will simply start again. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people have to be poor because that's how they hang on to God. They continue to need a miracle and it keeps them in. Some people have to be rich for the devil to destroy. Some people have to be rich to have to call on God. Whatever the situation is, doesn't even matter. That's all circumference. Let's just make Jesus the middle. Let's just make Jesus the center. And let's come into all of the bounty and all of the blessing that the Lord wants to bestow upon his people. Why? Not so you can be the fat cat in the city of Lexington, but so that you can build the kingdom of God, so that you can have revival, so that you can stir up the gift of God within you and give it to God and let God do what he's got to do. Hey, you're wrong if you think it's the will of God for all these seats to remain empty. You're wrong if you think there's no more leadership in this city. You're wrong if you think there's no more musicians and singers, and there's no more Sunday school teachers, and there's no more preachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets. Hallelujah, you're wrong. Hey, don't sit on it, but get up with it and lift it up to God and keep it in the center. In the center, right in the middle. Amen. The only way you're going to see homes stirred, families made better, finances, futures, and success, and all this. Amen. Start something that the devil cannot finish. Hallelujah. He left heaven thinking, upon this rock, you're going to build your church. But he fell like lightning. And then the scripture came to us, upon that rock, we're going to build this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Your philosophies, what you think, how you manipulate people and their lives and the way people do and move and all of that. Amen. It's going to be so contrary to what the will of God is, and you're not even going to know it because you're being robbed. And because you're being robbed, you're robbing from other people. Listen, let's make Jesus the center of our joy. Does Jesus make you happy? Does he make you happy? Does he bring you joy? Has he ever answered your prayer? Then why don't you let the devil know right in his face right now that Jesus is going to be my center. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. You start it. God will finish it. You begin. God will end it. Hallelujah. Are we after him? Are we after him? Amen. If you are, you will develop three areas of spiritual goals. Amen. Listen, number one, the cross is our start. Amen. I find forgiveness there. And you can too. One of the most ludicrous lies the devil has ever told to us is that you can't be forgiven. You've gone so far. You've done so much. You're so horrible. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're crazy. You can't have what these other people. Listen, you let him tell you that because you have no clue what other people have. I can't have what they got. Look at them. Well, you look at them, but you don't know what they have. You don't know what they fight. You don't know what their struggles are. You don't know what they have to get up in the morning and face every day and go through it to get to Jesus and to make him their center. You think you're the only one struggling? Hey, you can forget that because all people have trouble. The Bible says man's days are few and full of trouble. That means every man. I'm just telling you right now, amen, if you're going to sit off and build an island and have a pity party and feel like you're the only one struggling, then you go ahead, but you'll be destroyed. Why don't you join all the rest of us that are having struggles too, and let's pray for one another, and as God brings me out, he'll bring you out. As he brings you out, he'll bring me out. And as he brings the church out, we'll all come out. Greatest testimonies that you can develop is the fact that you went through years of struggle and finally God, you got your deliverance and you got your strength and you got your overcoming, and then God brings a little somebody into your life that's going through the same thing that you went through, and you can help them overcome in 6 months what could have taken you 6 years to overcome. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. All things work for the good for those that love the Lord. For those that make him the center. How many of you want to shake your world and turn it upside down? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, then don't get mad at God because he's making you an awesome testimony. Amen. You bow up in the devil's face and tell him that I'm making Jesus my center. And when I come out of this, you will not rejoice against me then. You will not clap your hands at me. You will not laugh at me then, because there will be a multitude of people that I will be able to help. My. He can't be the circumference. It's got to be simple. The center, it's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The cross is my start. I find my I find my grace there. I find my forgiveness there. Faults fly out the window. Failures give way to better futures. The supreme failure today, ladies and gentlemen, is not to try again. I want somebody to put your feet into the future because you are not a loser and you are not a failure. Secondly, we must go on to passion, 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 passion. This is where you begin to leave the arena of self and your will, your self-desires, and develop a genuine concern for others. Praise God. What's wrong with me? And I'm just going to preach to me for a moment, but what's wrong with me getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, if I ever come into this, if I am ever any kind of success, I don't even know what success is, hallelujah, but if I'm ever any kind of success, if I'm ever any kind of, could I want to bless the kingdom. What would be wrong with me praying that? Hallelujah. Instead of more, 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 more. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And there's got to be a way I can figure this that I don't have to give. I know I'm supposed to give God a tenth, but I got to figure out a way that I don't have to give him all the tenth to everything. And stop trying to figure how much we can get keep from God. And just wake up and just simply say, what can I do to bless it? What can I do to give to it? And I'm telling you, you'll wind up like J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney decided that he was going to keep a tenth and give the other 90% to God, and died a multi-millionaire because he decided, I'm just going to build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I don't even know. I don't even know what that would be like, but I'm just telling you what would be wrong with your pastor getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, if my boat ever comes in, hallelujah, then I am going to build the kingdom of God. Then I am going to, church will be filled. Because we'll have billboards everywhere. We'll have letters, personal letters going out to every home. We'll have this, we'll have this, we'll have this. We'll pray, we'll believe God. Staff will be full time. Hallelujah, on and on and on. Amen. Keeping in mind the kingdom of God. And not even realizing what you're driving. Not even realizing where you live, what you have. Because I'm telling you, if you give it to God, He'll blow your mind with what you're going to have. So that's what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got to have passion for the kingdom of God, for others, the word of God. It's got to become paramount. Everything. Obedience to the word is unquestionable. Scriptures like 2 Corinthians 10:3 that say, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, for whosoever will save his life, be more passionate toward his own life, is going to lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, surrender his life to the will of God, they're going to find it. Amen. Verse 26, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you trade Jesus Christ in paradise for? Hallelujah. Amen. Would you trade him for street pharmaceuticals? Would you trade him for unbelief? Would you trade Jesus for a little bit of trouble you're going through? A little doubt? Praise God. I love telling the little story about babies when they're born. They're born in doubt. They come out and the doctor taps them on their little rump. And they start saying, wah, 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 wah. You just want to say, because, baby. Amen. And we want to live the rest of our lives. Why I got to go through this? Why I got to face this? Why do I do that? Listen, there's victory if you get your eyes on the victor. Number three, the place that I'm trying to get to is the arena of propagation. Amen. This is where you become highly sensitive and aware of the fact that you were loved for a reason. And that you were given from God for a reason. That you were saved, not because you were the most special person in the world. That's quite a revelation. But you were saved for a reason. You were helped for a reason. Rescued. Amen. Your life has a purpose. Has a reason. Amen. What if you were given so you could give? What if you were saved so you could save someone else? What if you were helped so you could help? What if you were rescued so you could rescue? Praise God. Here's my life purpose statement. I can't go to heaven without you.
That's it.
I just can't. I can't go to heaven without you. What was it the preacher said, Brother Carson, the other night? He talked about a lady that she was in a place where a crowd of people were in a building, and the building caught on fire, and she found an exit door, and she was the only one. Everyone else died. And they say she eventually wound up in an insane asylum because when it dawned on her that she only saved herself, she couldn't live with it. She heard the screams of the children. She heard screams and the cries of the babies as all that was being consumed with fire and being devastated, and wound up dead and lifeless. But she saved herself. And she lives every day quoting out loud, "I only saved myself. I 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 only saved myself." Hey, I don't want to go to heaven walking up streets of gold saying, "I only saved myself. I only saved myself." I don't even know if you can, because my Bible says they will be saved in childbearing. But I'm just telling you, is there anybody in here that's got someone else on your mind? Is there anybody in here that's got compassion, a little left over for someone else that needs Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm talking about needing Jesus, not your opinion. Amen. Not your sit down, let's drink a cup of coffee and eat a piece of pie and let's work out, let's manipulate your... I'm talking about if you're going to find the answer, I got to take you to Landmark. If you're going to find the answer, I got to find an altar with you. If you're going to find the answer, we got to pray about this and we got to seek God about this, because God is the answer, because He is the center. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. The Old Testament had a constant flowing of blood from all manner of beasts. For a divine forgiveness continuum. That's why every time Moses went up on the mountain, the children of Israel went way down deep in sin. They had no point of reference. They had no center. When you have no point of reference to go back to, you will make the bizarre appear ordinary. You'll make the wrong seem right. Abominations, lying, shameful living will not begin to even faze you. Amen. That's why it's important that we walk away from this building today making Jesus the center. The center. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Any of you ever play golf? If you haven't, don't. I played golf for several years, and I got cancer and came out of that. I was so dizzy, I couldn't even see the ball, much less hit it. And before that, I couldn't even hit the ball. Well, but I was always thinking, I think I got to hit the center of that ball. I never took any lessons, but I thought, I got to hit the center of that ball. And I'm thinking today, if I don't hit the center of everything I try, if I don't hit the middle of everything that I'm going for, I've hit the main middle. I've hit the main center. I put Jesus in the center. I put Jesus in the middle. And that's one hit that I've made. And I am determined to keep it that way. And I'm just wondering if we'll stand together here this morning. And if there is anybody that is willing. Now, if you're waiting on someone else to go first, then they're to the middle. But if you want to come and make Jesus the center, He's still available. And it is never too late. Because today is the day to put Him in the middle. To put Him right in the center. Hallelujah. To make it happen. To entrust and believe. To have confidence. To have faith. Make it happen. Only you can make this choice. Make this choice. Put him in the middle. Put him in the center. Hallelujah.
From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Say the word center.
Nothing in this world will do.
Say the word, you're the main thing.
Jesus, you're the center.
Make him the main thing.
Everything revolves around.
He's the right thing. He's that good thing. He's that
Jesus,
holy thing.
Jesus.
thank Him. Let's praise Him. The God of another chance. The God of another opportunity. The God of great privilege. The God of great chance. The honor that He would let me be here today. That He would let you be here today. Holy Ghost. Your hands to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Every time we build, I think, Lord, this is the center where we will worship the center. And here I am seeing another one. It just, He is so massive. He is so huge. These little buildings that we build can't contain what God is up to. All we have to do is put Him in the right perspective. Put Him in the right place. And let everything else unfold. God bless you as you're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. Greet our guests and our visitors and one another. Amen.